I want to draw your attention tonight to verse 20 of Genesis chapter 50. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. These words were spoken by Joseph. His father Jacob had just passed away. He lived to be a grand old age, about 147 years old. Whenever he died, Joseph's brothers felt that they were in big trouble because of what they had done many years previous in the way they had treated their young brother Joseph. It's a wonderful thing that conscience can work after all the years. A terrible wrong was done on the young man Joseph, and they were found out eventually. Joseph was forgiven. But now that the father had died, they felt, now that daddy's gone out of the way, Joseph might give vent to his rage. He might exact revenge upon us. But not so. Joseph was a mild-mannered man. He had come through much. He realized, as we'll see in a few moments, he was a man of destiny, and he wasn't going to stoop and debase himself by exacting revenge on his brothers, especially people whom he had forgiven. We are doing a series in the book of Proverbs, and if I could just draw your attention to a verse that was in the chapter that we were reading this morning, it has relevance here. It's about a man who exercises mercy. And we learn in Proverbs chapter 11 and in verse 11 this great truth. I'll read it to you. Verse 17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The boys who troubled their flesh were Joseph's brothers. Even after so many years, about 37 years after the event. And even now, they're trembling in Joseph's presence. What will he do to us? Will he pay us back? No, Joseph was not of that mind, as we've already seen. But Joseph had this calmness and tranquility about himself because he was a merciful man. And I want to say it tonight to young people, and to older people, maybe especially older people, don't be vindictive against people who have wronged you and harmed you. And young people, don't try to square the issue. Don't try to pay back. Leave that with the Lord. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And then, of course, remember, conscience. You might do things now, especially when you're young, that you say, well, nobody sees me. Nobody's going to call me to order. But let me tell you, years afterwards, you could pay big time in your mind and in your conscience. So if your conscience has a resurrection, as it will, it never dies. It might lie down and sleep for a while. But if your conscience rises up, there is only one remedy for that. And that is, get to the cross as quickly as you can. Get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Get to the fountain filled with blood. Trust the Savior. Seek His forgiveness. Believe that He hears you. And put the matter to rest. And then your conscience will not bother you again once you have got God's forgiveness. But, as I said a few minutes ago, Joseph was a man of destiny. And he knew it. And after all these years, I think he's about 54 years old at this particular time, if we can take the figures and the dates that are mentioned in his life as dealing with the specific period there and then. But he's a mature man at this stage. And as these brothers show their fear what Joseph might do to them, Joseph very quickly puts their mind at rest and he assures them that even though they had done wrong, God was in the matter. And for a short while tonight, I want you to see how God was in the life of this young man. First of all, I want you to know that God had a great purpose for Joseph's life. Notice what we're told in this particular verse, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. What was God's purpose for the life of this young man? Well, first of all, it was a purpose of greatness. Greatness for Joseph. Now, listen to this. Joseph was a young man who had great dreams. Now, way back at the beginning of life, as we meet him, when he's a young man, about 17 years of age, he said in front of his brothers and in front of his father, he said, I've had dreams. He says, I dreamt that my sheaves of corn were in the field along with yours, and all of yours had to bow down before me. And then he said, I also dreamt that the sun and the moon and the stars bowed down to me. And what he was saying was that I am to have dominion. Now, you can read the passage for yourself. It's chapter 37 of Genesis, verses 5 to 8 and verse 10. You'll find that his family perfectly understood that what Joseph was saying was that I'm for greatness and you're all going to have to do obeisance to me one day. Now, they didn't like it. And his father, who really loved Joseph and made him a coat of many colors, the Bible says, he observed all of these things. In other words, like Mary, he pondered them over in his heart. Whenever she heard what Simeon and Anna were saying about the baby Jesus, she pondered them in her heart, and this is exactly what Jacob was doing. But then years later, whenever Joseph was let out of prison, Pharaoh made him chief in all the land, over and above all his government, over and above all his cabinet. He says, you will be next to me by way of authority. There was the greatness that God had purposed for this man's life. Now, young people and others, let me say, we might never have the exaltation that Joseph had in the eyes of the world, but God has a purpose of greatness for you and for me. And that greatness is better than worldly greatness. Whenever God's purpose in your life is fulfilled, you can have nothing greater. And what a purpose that can be. But the purpose was not only one of greatness. It was one of usefulness. Usefulness to his family. And useful to his fellow man. If you would you turn back to chapter 45. Again, some years previous, whenever these boys are exposed for the wrongdoing, we are told in verse 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. It was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What was his purpose, God's purpose in his life? To be useful. Now, how he was useful is a thrilling story. Let me just give you a preview of it. There were to be 7 good years of harvests in Egypt and 7 years of famine to follow. And because Joseph was able to give Pharaoh sound advice and counsel, the country was saved and other countries of the world were benefiting from the fact that in the 7 good years, all the harvests were stored and corn was set aside against future poverty-stricken times. And not only did Egypt benefit, but Israel benefited. And not only did Israel benefit, but the countries of the world benefited from Joseph's sagacity and his wisdom. Now, young people, and especially the young people, I want to say to you that you're not meant to wander about aimlessly through life. You're young. God has a design and a purpose for your life. God didn't create you just for you to go off like a wandering star. God has a perfect blueprint for your life, and you'll never really be happy until you're in that blueprint, that you are living your life within that. And even if you're an older person, you might be saying to yourself, I have missed my way. You're not too late to get back. Go to God. Go in repentance and faith. Ask the Lord to take over your life, to save your soul, and to surrender your life to Him, and you will be walking in God's perfect will, and you will be useful to your fellow man, just as Joseph was. Do you not want to be useful to people? I was reading in my afternoon reading today from the book of Zechariah. That's where I am now, going through the Bible again. And in the chapter 8, there was a lovely little phrase, ye shall be a blessing. That means just the way a bit of water on a dusty ground keeps the dust from rising, you can be a blessing. Or somebody who's thirsty and gets a cup of water, think of what that water means to the person. That's what being a blessing to somebody means. Or if somebody has terrible problems and you come alongside and you put your arm around them and say, here's a way that you may not have thought about. I know someone who can help you, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. Just for you to be there and to tender some good biblical counsel in a quiet, gentle way, that can be a blessing to them. There are so many ways. And here Joseph was, in the purpose of God, a blessing to his family, a blessing to his adopted nation, and a blessing to his homeland, as well as the ends of the earth. God's purpose, he says, God meant all of this for good. But notice very quickly, not only God's purpose for Joseph's life, but God's plan in Joseph's life. In order for that purpose to be realized, God was working according to a plan. It's very important to know this. Let me give proof of this, that God always works according to a plan. You take creation, the creation of this world. Read Genesis chapter 1. We are told that God created the world in 6 days. And he had a plan for every day of those days that he created the world. He rested the and by the way, there's the plan to rest on the Sabbath day. There should be one day in 7 set aside from the daily grind and the daily routine, and a day to worship God. There's the plan. Again, God worked according to a plan and a timetable. He says in this book of Genesis chapter 15 that the future of Abraham's descendants would mean one of captivity in a different land, which turned out to be Egypt. And after 400 years had run their course, when the iniquity of the Amorites was full, God would bring his people out of Egypt. God was working to a plan and a timetable. And again, in Galatians chapter 4, the Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law. God had his time for the incarnation and birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Psalm 102, for the Lord's work, thou shalt arise and have mercy in Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. And God had a time for Joseph. Now, let me say it to you that God's plan took in two things for Joseph. First of all, terrible experiences he had to endure. First of all, the bitterness of his brothers, the envy, the resentment which resulted in him being sold into Egypt. He never saw his family for many, many years. Then secondly, the slander, the seductiveness and the slander of Potiphar's wife, the household into which he was sold. That was a wicked woman. You will read about her in chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, chapter 37 particularly. You will find what she tried to get that young man to do, but because he wanted to maintain his purity and said no, she slandered him. She accused him of terrible sin and crime. And then he was put in prison. And then there was the failure of the butler to remember him whenever the butler got out of prison, Joseph says, "Now listen, will you remember me whenever you get out?" Because it was through Joseph's interpretation of the dream that the man had been restored to office. But the boy forgot all about Joseph. And whenever your friends forget you, and your family turn against you, and the wicked worldling will slander you, and you're in abject misery, it becomes very hard. And then as we read in Psalm 105 and verse 19 about Joseph, until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And all of that, God was testing his young servant. And it lasted for 13 years in prison. But God was meaning it all for good. He was fulfilling his purpose. And I'm saying to you tonight that you may have trials and problems now, and you cannot understand why you as a Christian are having to go through so much misery. I'm putting forward an explanation. It may be because you are being shaped by Almighty God for something big in your life and something useful to the world in days to come through your life. That was the experiences he had to endure. But God had another plan, part of the plan, the eminence into which he came. We've already noticed that he became elevated to the throne of, to the second in command, to the throne of Egypt. And whoever would have thought that young slave boy who had been slandered, who had been misrepresented, who had been bullied, who had been intimidated, but a boy who kept his purity, kept his eyes on the Lord, was submissive to the years of affliction. Whoever would have thought so suddenly he would become the second in command to the greatest man in the world at that time, Pharaoh, great in power that is. And it all happened so suddenly. They say that many a big door turns on a small hinge, and this is exactly what happened here. You find the story in Genesis chapter 41. We'll not go over it tonight. But let me say to you that in all of this working, Joseph says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was working providentially. The difficult things that Joseph couldn't really grasp, they were all shaping him under the mighty hand of God. Way back in the winter of 1873-1874, in Gaza, there was heavy snow. A burglar, a robber, came to this house one night and had done a wee bit of work plying his trade downstairs. And then he wanted to go to one of these little houses that had an upstairs in it. And whenever he got into the upstairs part, into the bedroom of the husband and wife, he noticed a child in a cradle. He says, that child is bound to catch on that there's somebody in the room before the mother and father does. He says, they'll draw attention to me. He says, I'd better get rid of this problem. So he went over to the cradle, he lifted the child out, and he darted out down the steps of the house outside, and he set the child outside. And he got on with his work in another part of the upstairs. But the child began to whimper and then cry a bit, and it woke up the parents. And the parents looked in the cradle, but there was no child. And the father says, I hear the sound of him crying, but where is he? And both of them got up, they looked around the cradle, couldn't understand it. And they went outside, following the sound of the voice, and they found the wee one. But while they were out of the house, there had been snow in Gaza in that winter. And the weight of the snow on the house brought the roof in. And they all would have been killed if they had been there. The next morning, when the helpers and family members, as well as the husband and wife, were going through the house, they found this man in with a lot of the precious things that belonged to the family in a bag around his neck and other stuff in his hands. He was caught in the very act. The snow brought the roof down, and because of his wrongdoing, the mother and father and the wee baby had been outside the house. Whenever the roof caved in, they were not in any danger. God's providential working in their lives. These men were hard on Joseph. So was Potiphar's wife. So was the butler, in a sense. But God used it all to shape the young man for the great things he had for them. And if you're going through a difficult time tonight or these days, remember, if you love the Lord Jesus, if your trust is in him, that God uses us to shape us to fulfill our destiny. But very quickly, let me mention the third thing, and that is God's presence in the life of Joseph. The fact that Joseph looks these fellows in the face and says, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good," was plainly inferring and implying, God has been with me all this time. Now, if you would, turn back to chapter 39. I want you to see this for yourself, and we'll do it very quickly. Verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, this is the incident of Potiphar's wife. But come down to the chapter to see the sequel to that. This is Joseph in prison. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The point is, when God was shaping the vessel, even though he was going through hardship, other people, as well as Joseph, could see that the Almighty was with his servant. Even there in abject misery, in dire straits, God was with his young servant. It's not easy to always sense that when you're going through a hard time. Oh, we can say, yes, we know that God's with us, because the Bible tells us. We know when we're saying to others out of sorrowful times that all things work together for good to them that love God. But whenever we're going through it ourselves, whenever the hard times come, we have got then to apply the truth of what we know and say, Lord, not now, but in the coming years. It may be in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears. Ah, there sometime we'll understand. But whether the going's rough or easy, God is with us, people, because he has said in his word, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So, 13 years imprisonment, 13 years at this stage that had gone on, another 7 at least, maybe another 2 on top of that, he had never seen his father or his family, and he was suffering, a young man away from home, but yet God was with him. Now you're going to school tomorrow probably, maybe high school. You go to work, go to carry on the business. You're leaving Bethany tonight, and you say, I've got to face a difficult world tomorrow. Well, take this great truth with you. God has a purpose for your life, and he's working according to a plan. That plan may mean hard times, but through it all, the Lord is with you if you belong to him. And one last thing to say. We've seen the purpose God had for his life. Ye meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Seen the plan that God was working to. There was these experiences of misery and this great elevation he experienced. We have seen the fact that God accompanied this young man throughout his life. Then lastly, I want you to see God's power in it all. That's one thing, having a purpose in life, and another thing, working according to a plan to get that purpose fulfilled. But with the best intentions in the world, we may not succeed. But God doesn't fail. God has the power to bring Joseph through. Many years have passed. Great changes have taken place. Difficult times have come and gone. Joseph had never seen his family. But now, in the purpose and plan of God, through a way most unexpected, the family is going to be reunited again. And those dreams that Joseph had when his family would bow down before him, they were fulfilled in the book of Genesis. Father fulfilled it. The brothers fulfilled it. They did not know at the time they were fulfilling it, because of their first meeting, Joseph disguised himself. He recognized them, but they didn't know him. After all, they thought that he was dead long before this. They never expected their brother to be almost king of Egypt. Whoever would have thought of the thing? And yet here he was, the dispenser of bread. God's mighty power brought it through. And my dear young hearer tonight, and older one as well, I come back to it. God has a purpose for your life. He works according to the plan. And if you will quit rebelling and resisting him and kicking against the pricks, God will display in your vision his mighty power. And you will look back over years of difficulty, perhaps, and then be able to say, they all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to preserve a people alive. What a statement. There's a young man believed in the sovereignty of God. He believed that God worked everything out after the counsel of his will, and he was content to abide the trial. We don't ever read of him once arguing against God, saying, God, you're unkind. God, you give me these dreams and there's not a word of them coming to pass. No, the Bible says, until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Maybe he's given you dreams. Maybe you thought of what can be wrought by your life for God and his glory in this society in which we live. But it doesn't seem to be happening. God has to make the vessel. God maybe has to cut off a few edges. God maybe has to take away some dross out of your life. That's why you're going through the crucible. But whenever it's done, God will use you and make you a blessing to many others. But you must, like Joseph, yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do it tonight? As a Christian, would you yield your life afresh? As someone who's never been saved, would you not, even if it's late on in life, would you not say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Wash away my sins. All those wrong things that I've done in years gone by that I know of, as well as the ones I don't know of. But they're coming back to haunt me. Lord, will you give me peace in my mind? He will, if you will yield your life to him and trust him as your Savior. Let us bow together in prayer. Father, we thank thee for what we have learned in the life of this man and thy workings with him. We praise thee that all the difficult things that were happening to Joseph were permitted and used by thee to the shaping of his life. And what an impact he made in the world in his day. What a blessing to his family and associates. Lord, may we learn the lessons. May we be like clay in the potter's hand. May we submit to the chastening of God. May we give ourselves afresh to the Lord Jesus tonight. May there be a receiving of him into our hearts and lives. May new life be experienced. May we go on to fulfill our destiny that thou hast for us. And grant that we'll impact the lives of many in our own families, among our friends, and in the wider society, to the glory of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.